Hello, everyone. This is Peter Granich on Sunday, August 24th, just after 1 p.m. here on the East Coast. As always, I remind you, this is not to be considered investment advice. You should always speak to a licensed financial advisor before making any investment decision and read all my disclosures. This podcast is being made part of a blog post entitled, And Down the Stretch They Come. With two-thirds of the year almost behind us now, we are clearly in the stretch for the finish line for the end of 2025. Other than one very ugly faux pas, the year so far has seen my overall financial market observations and related areas of interest be part of the best five-year period in my entire 41-year career in and around the financial arena. While the year is certainly not done yet, I feel better than ever, especially with now my most recent change to now believing there's a danger of a major crash or a huge decline underway and being built towards a crest that can occur as early as the next couple of weeks. This is only the fourth time I've been this defensive. The other three were in 1987, 1999, and 2007. While I would discuss some of the reasons for this position now, it remains imperative that you to keep fully abreast of what I have to say and think. You need to follow me on my X page. Yes, I'll make videos from time to time and blog posts too, but all of them, plus everything else I deem worthy to know, will be on my X page. It's also very important to know this. My Catholic Christian faith plays a role in everything I do. In fact, if you strip away all the secular reasons I'm going to give here and in later days and times, at the very core is my belief that this is all part of a great spiritual warfare that's been underway, and no amount of money and power on its own will save us, but only the firm belief and trust in Almighty God, His Manual for Life, the Holy Bible, the teachings of the Church, and special anointed human beings both from the past and present that I follow. With that in mind, let me start by noting that the belief that America had entered its worst ever economic, social, and political era a few years ago has never been more apparent. In fact, I will argue it has grown worse on all fronts since taking that position. Please understand that wearing my faith on my sleeve and having such an overall concerning view doesn't cause a mad rush to have myself and our team assist new clients or win friends. In fact, I would say it causes the opposite overall. But one thing is certain in my book, there are indeed only two types in the financial service industry. Those who say what they think, or those who say what they think you want to hear, and it sells. There are far too many of the latter, and I firmly believe I am in a very tiny group of the former. So let me begin by noting it's not how much one makes going forward now that's most important, but how much one doesn't lose that will separate the winners from the losers. Never has true real-life experience and the ability to see the forest for the trees been so critical, and sadly, many so-called financial professionals are lacking in that ability. Sorry, but when the majority of financial advisors practicing their wares now weren't even born, or at best were in diapers when I first started, true lack of experience and appreciating what's unfolding is going to be a contributing factor to why many will end up outside looking in before too long. To look forward, I must first look in the rearview mirror. I began 2022 with two critical beliefs. The first was we were embarking on America's worst ever economic, social, and political era. It would progress over a period of 3 to 5 years before it'd be painfully obviously to most. By then, even the don't worry, be happy crowd that makes up the financial service industry and the financial media tied to the hips will have run out of the ability to keep fooling their sheep with false facades. I believe we're now at the peak of them getting away with it, and it will become apparent to more and more in the weeks and months ahead. The ultimate crime will not be in wrong, but stay in wrong. And two, the biggest economic concern that most were and still are overlooking or denying is the formation of the BRICS and how the U.S. would see its dominance on the world stage decline sharply in that 3 to 5 year window, along with its currency. So I took a nearly unheard of and most unwanted strategy by most going forward, and that was to rid oneself of all general equities and bonds and buy physical gold for pure capital gains. That remained my main investment opinion throughout even this year, but then I felt earlier that companies that mine and sell gold would outperform the performance of physical gold. I did so in part because I also felt gold would see several months of sideways action while the shares could still see substantial gains. The icing on the cake to this almost unheard of strategy anywhere else was to back up a truck on the riskiest end of gold and other metals, the junior companies that explore and hopefully develop and or sell future mines. This strategy was complemented at the start of 2025 with a belief that the United States market would finish on either side of even. I stated a far better equity strategy in my eyes was to own X U.S. mutual funds or ETFs that don't have U.S. stocks in them, or individual companies, countries, with my favorite country being China. Again, very few agree, yet as we sit today, those X U.S. funds and China itself have nicely outperformed the U.S. stock market. U.S. stocks are lagging global peers like never before. The S&P 500 is underperforming in the MSCI World Index, which excludes the U.S. by the biggest margin in 32 years. The U.S. stock market is the most overvalued relative to global ex-U.S. in at least 30 years. Not even during the 2000 dot-com bubble was the valuation gap this wide. Year to date, the U.S. is underperforming by the most in 16 years. In addition to this, after seeing anywhere from 100% to 500% gains in 2024 alone, achieved through ownership of uranium stocks that I spoke of, I again suggested going back into several of them earlier this year if certain price levels were hit. Five of those uranium stocks hit those entry levels and proceeded to each see them rise an average 97% each before I suggested taking profits due to a belief a more defensive position was now warranted overall for those who agreed with me. The year was not pain-free. In fact, I would suffer my worst personal loss in any stock by a country mile, and my online fan club, who find great strength in being anonymous in cyberspace, do all they can to let people know of it and then some. But all in all, playing gold and related vehicles, avoiding U.S. general equities and bonds at the same time while greatly favoring other world markets, on top of some terrific performing individual equities, has made 2025 so far one of the best ever in my 41-year career. Now the question is not just how we finish, but what does 2026 and beyond possibly hold? Again, I want to remind you that this commentary will in no way be remotely close to my full analogy, and my X page is where my heart and soul will be poured out daily. I stated several days ago that for the rest of August, I felt the stock market could still rise as the last 2 weeks of the month are very favorable seasonally, and attendance is off due to a period when many take vacations. With both Canada and the U.S. celebrating their respective Labor Days on September 1st, I said the serious time won't kick in until after that. That's why this past Friday's explosive increase in many markets was a gift, especially for general equities, because the move was enhanced by several days of previous week performance, especially in the NASDAQ. This has allowed the market to possibly still be at its highs when September 2nd rolls around. It was only then that I spoke about when I would start considering shorting or bearish strategies for the U.S. stock market, but not before. Meanwhile, my favorite markets, gold and silver, benefited greatly by Friday's Fed actions, while the U.S. dollar took it on the chin. Now, I want to discuss the Fed's actions for two very important reasons. Powell's Jackson Hole speech was a balancing act, acknowledging inflation is still running above target while pointing out rising downside risk to employment. When you get past his fluff, what he's really signaling is the Fed is preparing to pivot in September, not because inflation has been tamed, but because the balance of risk has shifted in ways that forced his hand, especially by the constant beating up by Trump and his merry men. Powell basically hopped on just three critical points. First, the labor market is softening faster than Grant took Richmond. Job gains have collapsed from 168,000 a month in 2024 to just 35,000 in the last 3 months, with significant downward revisions to earlier data. Labor force growth has slowed to a crawl due to immigration policy changes, and labor participation is working lower. Powell called it, in quote, curious balance, a labor market that looks stable on the surface but is fragile underneath, where small shocks could tip into mass layoffs. Second, growth has cooled rapidly. GDP slowed to just 1.2% in the first half of 2025, half of last year's pace, largely because consumers outside the top 10% wealthiest are struggling at best, while the 50% lowest are in critical condition. Their weakness is cyclical, not structural, and Powell knows consumer retrenchment has historically been the leading edge of broader downturns, and no Trump cheerleading is going to change that. Third, tariffs are really starting to reintroduce inflationary pressures. Headline PCE is 2.6 with core at 2.9, and Powell did admit tariff pass-through will continue to filter into prices over coming months. But with his fingers and toes crossed, he framed this as a, quote, one-time adjustment, not a lasting inflation cycle, signaling the Fed is willing to look through it as long as inflation expectations stay anchored. Good luck with that. The real story is Powell was telling markets that September is about risk management. Inflation is still above target, but the Fed now sees a greater danger in waiting too long, risking a sudden jump in unemployment that could spiral into a broader recession. That's why he emphasized the Fed is already 100 basis points closer to neutral than a year ago, giving them cover to ease policy without declaring mission accomplished. So expect at least 25 basis points with a 50 basis point on the table if the August payroll revisions and September job reports confirm accelerating weakness. Powell wants his hands free no matter what Trump is screaming about this day or next. Enough easing to reassure labor markets and credit channels, but not so much that it looks like a panic. He knows the don't worry, be happy crowd on Wall Street and the financial media tied to the hips will pump this as the start of a cutting cycle, even if Powell insists on data dependence. The Fed is trying to appear that it's no longer greatly concerned about yesterday's inflation, but ready to prevent tomorrow's employment crackup. September won't be touted as a victory lap. It'll be sold as a necessary recalibration to avoid letting the cycle slip out of control. Powell is hoping this will cool Trump and his gang. Unfortunately, this can only play into my outlook and position I believe is best for the coming worst years ahead. Now, two, most of the financial service industry and investors in general have experienced a mostly one-way street to drive on for several decades now. It has only had one gear, forward, by putting the pedal to the metal and keep driving. On rare occasions, that road had an accident, but along came the Fed tow truck that sprayed money all over the road, that soaked up anything that spilled, and the drivers just got back in and rode the easy money highway. My concern now is not about today, or tomorrow, next week, or even next month. It's about the years ahead, please God that we're here, that I believe so few are financially and mentally prepared for. I truly believe those who hesitate will lose. May the only true peace in the world that comes from the Holy Spirit fill your heart, mind, and soul, and prepare you for the ever-increasing worldly troubles ahead. Please now have a most blessed rest of the Sunday.